Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike. Go on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite early cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, buddy, what isn't going on? I mean, Shane's all over. If you haven't seen it, Paul Feinbaum show, he's like the biggest star in the world now. He's on the golf course. Go check it. That's on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, it's on audio podcast. If you haven't heard it, however you support the podcast, you'll find it there. We also got an interview with John Neighbors that was posted on Friday. And we posted an interview with Billy Lucci on Saturday. Shane, we don't take days off
now,
even in the spring. But tell us all what it's like to be world famous and be all over the television.
Well, no, I mean, it was surreal. It's always fun to get on with Paul there and shoot the shit. But you just never know, like, when they're going to call. You never know how long you're going to be there. You don't have no idea what questions they're going to ask. And you know, here I am prepared, ready to talk some SEC football. And they're like, hey, we're going to lead in with Bill Belichick. And I'm like, what? I mean, obviously, he's a touchy subject right now going on in the country. But we had a great time. So, yeah, after this show, be sure to check that out. Appreciate everybody reaching out and saying, hey, pretty much what they were saying is, I'm glad you didn't mess that one up. You know, they've watched enough of these episodes to realize that I'm going to screw up somewhere.
Yeah, well, I thought you did a hell of a job. No screw-ups there. You didn't even call him Mike one time. So credit to you, Shane. And we just got a $5 donation Cousin Brian Moore. I don't know why that went nine times. Giving $5 off the bat to Cousin Shane for not mentioning Hendon Hooker when he was talking to Paul.
I really almost did. I think we did talk Tennessee a little bit, but I did stay away from it. You're welcome. I tried not to cuss. That's the main thing. Yeah. I don't want to say any bad words. Because you do that, then they'll never have you back. In fact, the last time I was on, they thought I said a cuss word, and there was like a 10-second, you remember that. You were like, oh, yeah. Did you say the F-bomb? And I was like, no, I didn't. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking in my head the whole time. Don't say Hendon Hooker. Don't say a curse word.
Yep. All right, buddy. Well, hey, are you ready to get into trouble on this episode of the show?
Yeah, buddy. What's going on?
Well,
I don't even know what it's about. What are we doing?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed this yet, Shane, but I've been changing the, the show topic. We got the little banner down there. So we're going to do our post spring record predictions. Ooh. And I don't know if you remember, if anybody missed it. This was months ago. I looked it up. It was December 15th, Shane. Uh-huh. We did it. We did this. We did a record predictions for every single team in the SEC, but a lot has changed. There's been coaching, not head coaching, but coordinator change, two portal windows. We've come to find a little bit more about these teams. So I thought it was about time to do an updated record prediction for each and every SEC team. And we're not doing this as the homers.
Yeah.
Okay. We're doing it as like a realistic. Mm-hmm. Again, we reserve the right to change our minds. Hell, it's May here, so
yeah,
a lot could change between May and August or July when we're casting our SEC Media Day ballots. But how does that sound?
That sounds good, man. Yeah, this is usually where you get in trouble because everybody in here is optimistic about their team. Most of them. There's a few that are just like, well, you know, maybe next year is our year. But I do think that this gets us in trouble because I'm not going to be doing it optimistically, Mike. I'm going to do it as if I'm Las Vegas.
Cousin Stevie says, Cousin Shane having to be realistic about their Vols. And then W Knight, I hope that's Wayne Knight. Cousin Shane, 100 times better than Paul Feinbaum.
Well, thank you, Knight. I appreciate that. And I'm already thinking 12-0 for that big orange Vols.
All right. So how about this, Shane? As the donations, certainly not mandatory. We appreciate each and every one of them. If you want to throw us a donation, we'll hit your team first. Baby. So we're going to start with Texas because Cousin Brian is a Texas fan. But before we do that, Shane, the legend has arrived. Cousin JR.
Cousin JR has done it again.
JR's back. He's gifted 5 memberships, Shane. So shout out. Shout out Bishop Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Newark, long name there. Mountain Drew. What a name. Patrick Green, Purple Orca, and Dustin Hale. You have all been blessed by the legend, JR. Welcome
to
the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
So let's do Texas first, Shay, because okay. Cousin Brian gave us a donation. Then we'll do Georgia because JR likes Georgia.
Yes.
So we're going to honor these fine cousins for what they're giving us. But let me throw up the Texas schedule. And again, we're doing this. We're trying to be realistic. We can't all go 12-0. I know we all want to. But let's run through the schedule real quick in case there's anybody just listening back. We're on the audios, Shane. Here's what we got.
What?
Okay. Let's go through this here. At Ohio State, week 1. Oh, that's the only one that worries Shane, he said. San Jose State at home. UTEP at home. Sam Houston at home. Then we got the bye week. Then we're at Florida. We got Oklahoma game on a neutral field. At Kentucky. At Mississippi State. Vanderbilt at home. Get your second bye. At Georgia, 2 weeks to prepare. At least you got that. And then you got Arkansas at home, A&M at home. Early record prediction for Texas, Shane.
Early prediction for Texas Longhorns. Man, it's tough to start at the top, ain't it? But here we are, Mike. I think obviously the games I'm worried about, Ohio State, Georgia, and then that one game. You know, you always have that one game that you should have won, but you didn't. And I feel like Texas, you know, breaking in a lot of new pieces may have that until I look at the schedule and I say, you know what? The only game I'm worried about is week 1. So Ohio State, Georgia, you're losing one of those. Give me Texas 11-1 this year.
Oh, I think you nailed it, Shane. I think you nailed it. That's exactly what I have. But did you see this? Texas today, Shane, added a quarterback via the transfer portal. Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Let me get the guy's name real quick because I don't want to. He started at Troy, Shane. Matthew Caldwell. So you know what that tells me? Arch Manning, overrated as hell. He can't play. They're bringing in a back. You know, they're bringing up a starter. I'm just kidding. But, you know, even at Texas, man, they're sitting here saying, let's go get us a starter to be a backup for this historic run we're going to go on. But I thought I'd have some fun there. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick many losses on here. You know what? And that's even, buddy, you have no idea. We are still, to this day, Shane, still to this day, getting messages from Ohio State fans about Tennessee. I mean, just go to the YouTube. It's got like 90,000 views at this point. Every day they're hitting us up, you know, mocking the SEC. So there's nothing I want more in the world right now, Shane, than for Texas to leave Columbus with a big fat W. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's me wanting it, and there's, is that going to happen? Is Texas replacing quite a bit of production? So I don't know. I think that's a true toss-up. I may even figure or favor slightly, just slightly, Shane. I may favor Ohio State in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But every other game, maybe even at Georgia, I mean, I'm kind of favoring Texas here. So
yeah.
Yeah, and that's a huge if they lose to Ohio State. So, they may go undefeated. But I think it's safer to say 11 than 10 right now. I guess all my rambling, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And I think that makes it, you know, if you're looking at that 9.5 over, just the confidence, which probably if you're a Texas fan, you're a little leery, or you're new to the show and you don't know that Shane being on the Texas bandwagon may be a problem for you this upcoming season. But I don't know, brother. I'm with you. You remove Ohio State if they're not on this schedule.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chance they go undefeated. And, you know, I'm not just overlooking Georgia. I'm not overlooking, you know, Oklahoma or Texas A&M. But, you know, there's a lot of games on this schedule that, if not all of them, they'll probably be favorites in, except for that week one matchup. So, yeah, I really like the over. And I think 11, I'm pretty firm with that. Wouldn't be surprised if they go undefeated here.
Let me ask you this, though, because, again, because we've kind of said the same thing. So, Now, you know, this splits both ways. So maybe this doesn't matter at all. But any of these teams like Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, A&M, and hell, even I guess throw Georgia in there too. But now that they're getting Texas back to back years, Any chance that any of these teams, you know, maybe again, I'm not trying to discredit anything Texas did, But maybe a lot of it was kind of the newness of it. You know, where like these teams are not used to playing Texas,
right?
And maybe you're getting a second crack at them. Maybe you start to, again, figure out is the wrong word, but just that familiarity.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a game in there that this year, maybe they can handle Texas. Is there one? And again, that splits both ways because now Texas is getting more accustomed to playing these teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering, is there a team like, hell, they destroyed Florida last year, right? 49-17. Maybe that's one. Of course, DJ Lagway didn't play in that game. Hell, even Mississippi State gave him a pretty good game. Is there any team, Arkansas? I don't think there was really any point I was like, man, Arkansas is about to win this game. Right. But it was much closer than I thought it would be. You know, is there a game in here that you think, well, maybe this team could catch them if Texas has an off day?
Short answer, no. long answer, I said
all that, Chase. Like,
I know.
Move on.
No. Because if you look at the schedule, pull that up one more time. If you look at the schedule to me, Mike, it's tiers. You know, there's tier one, Ohio State and Georgia. Those games I could see them lose.
Right.
Okay. But I could also see them win. The second tier is your rivals. That's Oklahoma. That's Texas A&M. Another one that I don't see you losing, but it wouldn't blow my mind if you did, because it is a rivalry. And then right behind it, I'd probably have Florida by itself and then Vanderbilt, Arkansas in that mix right there. So that's kind of how I'm looking at the tiers. And again, crazy things happen all the time. This is SEC football. You know what I'm saying? You can never take a Saturday off. Hell, Texas almost got beat last year by Vanderbilt, it felt like at times. So
yeah.
I'm not totally, you know, an idiot or all in. You know, me and Matthew McConaughey ain't texting each other talking about how great this season's going to be, but you know, he may be right this upcoming year, you know?
Well, I tell you who is right, Shane.
Who's that?
Horton hears you. Yeah, Horton.
Hey,
he just gifted a membership, Shane, to Mitch Neely. Mitch,
welcome to the family.
And I believe, let me see if I got this in here or not. I don't. Oh, wait.
Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
Horton's even got a sound effect now. You know what?
Dang, Horton. You know you've made it now.
Oh, and shout out. We got Card. Card just became a member of the channel, Shane.
Yes.
Welcome to the family. Card, we appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah. What is he
welcome
a fan of? What?
To the family.
I don't know.
We got JR got the sponsor. Let's do his team next.
Yeah. Well, he's a Georgia fan, so let's throw up Georgia's schedule here. Okay, so if you're just listening back, we got Marshall at home, Austin Peay at home, at Tennessee. Get a bye week for Alabama at home. We get Kentucky at home, which actually Kentucky plays Georgia really tight, about anybody, as well as anybody out of the old SEC East. At Auburn, Ole Miss at home, get your second bye. Then you play Florida and Jacksonville. At Mississippi State, Texas at home, Charlotte at home, and then Georgia Tech in Atlanta, but it's a neutral site because apparently they need some money down there at Georgia Tech. Where are we going with Georgia? Shane, what is your predicted record for them dogs.
It's kind of funny because, you know, these are the two teams that ESPN likes to talk about, SEC Network, and, you know, it just, it feels like Texas and Georgia, Alabama, those are going to get most of the love, and I don't see why not, Mike, because I told you the Georgia Bulldogs are being overlooked. They're sitting there at 9-5 just like Texas, and me, I think they're going to exceed those expectations. I don't think it's a flawless season. There will be some growing pains, but Georgia's going back to Atlanta, and to do that, they got to be 11-1. So give me 11-1 for them Georgia Bulldogs.
Ooh, 11-1, huh?
Yes, sir. Am I right or am I wrong?
The decaying dogs disagree with you, Shane. I think the wheels have fallen off. I think Kirby's, you know, the best of Kirby's behind them. I think Georgia's gonna be one of the worst years they've ever had, Shane. 10-2. Go 10-2. They can still get to Atlanta, but until they beat Alabama, I mean, we just look like fools predicting it every damn time. Mm-hmm. Of course, they got them once under Kirby, but that one I'm giving to it of Alabama, even though it is in Athens. And I think they trip up somewhere else, whether it's at Auburn, Florida, Ole Miss, Texas, yeah, at Tennessee. At Tennessee is not that daunting anymore to me without Nico. Not that Nico was fantastic, but whoever the quarterback is, getting amped up for Georgia by week three seems like a horrible mismatch for the Vols. So I don't know. I see Georgia losing somewhere else in addition to Alabama, if that makes sense.
No, I get that. And that's one thing about them compared to Texas. I feel like there's a lot more landmines floating around. Not just Bama, but you could rope Tennessee, Ole Miss, Auburn, Texas, even your Florida Gators. There's a reason Kirby Smart is so pissed off at the schedule makers, because Georgia does not have an easy road. But and as I guess compared to last year, a lot of these are going to be at home. So I'm looking at Bama, I'm looking at Ole Miss, and I'm looking at Texas. That's why I'm a little bit more confident, just because Athens growing up didn't seem like a wild place to play. But these days, it's a damn – I mean, you're lucky to come out with points on the board. Forget winning. Just getting points on the scoreboard is tough to do down there in Athens. So – yeah, I really like their schedule because of that. I like that, people sleeping on them dogs. Give me 11-1 here.
Okay, yeah. You and Eric Ainge have changed your tune on how difficult it is down there in Athens, and I agree with you. It's a damn hellacious place to play. But
we're going to try reverse psychology coming into this one. Like, they never – we'll never beat these guys.
Hey, we got another donation, Shane.
Oh, this thank you, cuz.
Time from Steve O'Rolo. Gave us 10 bucks. He's a boomer. Love the Travis Davidson interview, big cuz. Keep up the good work, boys. Y'all make the freaking offseason a little bit more exciting and entertaining. Steve-O, we appreciate you.
Thank you, bro.
So let's do Oklahoma. You saw what I did there. Let's do Oklahoma next. Again, if you're just listening back, we'll run through the schedule here. We got Illinois State at home, Michigan at home. What a game that's going to be, Shane. At Temple, Auburn at home. Then you get your first bye, Kent State at home. You get Texas in Arlington, Dallas, whatever the hell you want to call it, at South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee. Get your second bye week. You're at Alabama, Mizzou, and LSU, last two at home. Record prediction. It's your moment of truth here, Shane. You're starting to turn around on the Sooners. You just went on Paul Feinbaum, said they're going to exceed every expectation, but you still found a way to troll. What do you think the prediction is for the Sooners?
Well, if you watched that awesome interview that I had with Paul Feinbaum, you would see that I've already predicted this one, Mike. I think Oklahoma does improve. I joke. I give them a hard time, but the Sooners are going to take a giant step. I think it's going to be tough to get rid of this football coach at the end of the season, because you're going to see moments in this season where Oklahoma has exceeded expectations. And I know everybody's very optimistic about John Mateer and your new running back and all the toys we get to play with there in Oklahoma, but it doesn't change the fact that I haven't seen it yet, Mike. I have not seen, you know, any type of development on the offensive line. I've, you know, other than the defense, it's the offense side of the football has just been god awful. So I do think John brings, you know, a little life into that locker room. Obviously, tough schedule, unlike their arch nemesis down there in Austin. Hey, that was a big word. I think that they've got kind of screwed on the scheduling just because of their success they've had in the past. But because of that, I've got Oklahoma going 7-5 this year, Mike.
Give that man his $10 back, Shane. You deserve to pay $10 for that trash take, Shane, because Oklahoma's going 9-3.
What?
Just outside. I don't have them as a playoff team, but that's just short of it, Shane. They're going to be one of the most improved teams, I think, in the and remember, I had them at 5-7 in December. You know what I mean? So I have been completely drinking the Kool-Aid since then. A lot's changed since then. But I think they're going to go 5-0, and I think they're going to get several of these, Shane. Several of these at the tail end of the. I mean, we had somebody the other day said they're going to lose the last seven. That's insane. They ain't doing that. I had forgotten someone bet us if they win more than four games, they're going to send us some bourbon. They might as well just go ahead and send it, Shane. They might as well already send that shit because there's no way Oklahoma's going 4-8 or even 7-5, like you said.
Steve O'Rullo says he takes it all back.
Let's see.
But again, I've come a long ways. I was right there with you. I thought this was a 3-4 win team. I thought Venables would be fired before November, but now I'm starting to come around and I don't know, some more Oklahoma interviews or horned down bourbon, which I've got on the way. Maybe I will change my tune.
what about this though? Let me ask you real quick, because again, you said 7-5, which that would be an improvement technically, but that's a shade away, Shane, from 6-6.
Yeah.
If Venables at mighty Oklahoma, Shane, he wins six games, 3 out of 4 years. I feel like we got to fire his ass. Is that too harsh or?
No, if the money's there, if you could find the money, then absolutely, brother. Because you know, Oklahoma, they should be contenders every single year. We shouldn't be having the conversation as to, I hope they make a bowl game, or we need this one player to just change everything. This is a team that traditionally has put a lot of talent in the NFL. They've won a lot of championships. They've won a lot of national championships. That's what the expectations are there in Norman. And, you know, they're kind of stuck. They got kind of stuck behind the eight ball here. Now that they made their bed, now they're sleeping in it kind of scenario, but who knows? I think with a little success, we may be able to turn this thing around, but if it's six wins, seven, maybe you keep them, but that would be tough. That'd be a tough pill to swallow for those boys down there.
Well, we don't have to worry about it, Shane, because again, they're going 9-3. They're asking me give us the three losses, at Alabama, LSU, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I'll say at South Carolina. Those are your three. They ain't losing to Texas. Yay. I've already predicted it, so I got to stick with that. But the rest are wins.
Yeah, I'm looking at this schedule now. You know, I had Michigan as a question mark, Auburn as a question mark coming in. I had Texas as a loss. I had Ole Miss as a loss, Tennessee as a loss, Bama as a loss. LSU as a loss, but some of that has changed. The more that I've heard from Oklahoma, you know, the people excited about what they've got in that locker room. I mean, and not to mention the changes at Tennessee, the changes at Ole Miss. There's Oklahoma has some, I want to say 50-50 games. They got some 60-40 games, but you know, if Venables is going to stay there, he's got to find a way to win them.
Yeah. All right, let's get this thing moving, Shane. We're 30 minutes in, three teams down. Let's do fascinated to see what you have to say about Tennessee, Shane. Syracuse in Atlanta, East ETSU at home, Georgia at home, UAB at home, at Mississippi State, get your first bye, Arkansas at home, at Alabama, at Kentucky, Oklahoma at home, get your second bye, New Mexico State at home, at Florida, and Vanderbilt at home. Realistic record prediction for them, Shane.
Brother, I tell you right now, it's you ain't going to like it. You're going to say he's the big orange homer, blah, blah, blah. But I see 12-0 on this schedule. Seriously, I do. If Hendon Hooker were the quarterback. But unfortunately, he's not, Mike. And I think that Tennessee drops a few. And I hope, I pray that it's a 10-2 season. But right now, Mike, I'm saying 9-3. I still love the schedule. You know, I don't know if you heard the Paul Feinbaum interview I had the other day. It was fantastic. But he asked me, and I said, this is Josh Heupel's system. This wasn't Nico's system. And I do think that the Tennessee Vols still have success. And 9-3 is very, very feasible and probably a little optimistic, but who cares?
Cousin Tony says, love the Vols, but they only go 10-2.
That's how I feel, Tony.
I'm going to say 8-4. 8-4 for Tennessee. And that's actually a little bit higher, Shane, because, again, I think Josh Heupel's a hell of a coach. And I think he's going to have to prove it this year. But I think I think they'll be better on the offensive side of the football. And again, I'm not saying better without Nico. I think that's crazy talk when people say that. But I think this is an opportunity to show that this system really highlights and plays to the strengths of a quarterback. And again, I just said I'm not bashing Nico. I'm not saying better because Nico's gone.
Right.
But hey, we said it before. We tell the truth on this show, Shane.
And yes.
Joe Milton and Nico, for whatever reason, struggled mightily to hit that deep ball.
Yeah.
Whoever that they throw out, whether it's Merklinger or Aguilar.
Yeah.
I would just throw out the one that can hit the deep ball. Because if you got that, the whole rest of the offense opens up. You know what? So, again, 8-4. I think they'll lose to Georgia. I think they'll lose at Alabama. I think they'll probably lose to Florida and give me a loss to Oklahoma as well. So 8-4. I think that's a solid year considering your quarterback quit on the team in spring football.
No, I'm right there with you. And the problem I'm also having is some of those wins I have are going to be close. I have Tennessee beating Oklahoma, but it wouldn't blow my mind if they lost to them. Same thing with Arkansas. Hell, they lost to them last year. So there's teams on this schedule that look like a win. We'll talk about them being wins, but when we actually play them, all Vol fans will be holding their breath, praying that they win.
Well, speaking of praying, you know who's praying this year, Shane?
Who's that?
Brian Kelly. Come on. Praying that they get a win week one. Otherwise, it's going to set us back again. At Clemson, what a showdown that'll be. Louisiana Tech at home, Florida at home, Southeast Louisiana at home, at Ole Miss, and we get our first bye for South Carolina at home, at Vanderbilt, Texas A&M at home, second bye week at Alabama, Arkansas at home, Western Kentucky at home, and at mighty Oklahoma, Shay. What's the record prediction for them LSU Tigers?
8-9. Best bet on the board, Mike. I tell you right now. As I'm looking at this schedule, I'm not afraid of a lot of people. Really, I'm not, except week one, because it is Coach Kelly. But when you get past that, I feel like there's a real shot LSU does not have another tough matchup until November 8th with Alabama Crimson Tide, which unfortunately I got them losing that game. I also have them losing either Oklahoma or Ole Miss. Doesn't matter which one in this scenario. I have LSU going 10-2.
Oh,
buddy. I'm all in on them Tigers.
You know who likes that pick?
Who's that?
Me, because I got them 10-2, Shane. I was thinking 9-3, but then I was like, well, hell, I don't know if that's good enough to get in the playoff. And yeah. I can't have another season of three SEC teams in the college football playoff unless they lose to Clemson, and maybe Clemson you know, wins the ACC or something like that. Maybe that would help LSU. But I said, well, hell, if I go too far down that road, then we're just getting in because of pity. I putting up with that garbage, Shane. Give me LSU. Give me 10-2. All in. The family, we're down here. We came down here to win. If there's no one motivated more than Brian Kelly, after seeing his old team go to the college football national championship without him,
yeah,
making the playoffs, something that he seemingly can't even do at LSU. If there's anyone more motivated than Brian Kelly this year, I'll be stunned. So again, I've said many times, I don't think he's an elite coach. I think he's a very, very, very good coach. If he's that good with this roster, he's got to make the college football playoff, and I think they do. Otherwise, we may have to get his ass out of here.
Oh, yeah. This is – they ain't going to say last dance, but my God. And if we've seen the dancing Coach Kelly's done. This one needs to be the last one right here. They got to make it. They've got all the pieces that they need. This is the time, brother. So, yeah, I like LSU to make a run.
How about Texas down here? He says Brian Kelly is in the portal. That's funny. All right. How about this should be fun, Shane. Shane's second favorite squad here. How about them Florida Gators down here? Long Island at home, South Florida at home, at LSU, at Miami. You get your bye week, Texas at home, at A&M, Mississippi State at home, second bye week. Then you're playing Georgia and Jacksonville, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee at home, Florida State at home. Shane, what are them fighting Billy Napiers going to do this year?
I think they're going to surprise a few folks, brother. You know, I was really down on them last year, and they kind of turned it around toward the end of the season, had some really great games. And, you know, I've been talking to Florida Mike all summer long, it feels like, and he's telling me that their Gators are going to the damn playoffs, it feels like, behind the arms of DJ Lagway and this stout Florida Gator football team. But, Mike, at the end of the day, you know damn well they're going to struggle to make a bowl. So give me 6-6. They get in there. Miracle win with the Florida State Seminoles. And Billy is retained for yet another season.
Year five
process. This is year.
Buddy, that'd be rough. That'd be a tough pill to swallow.
Hell yeah, it would.
Would fans, would they even show up, Shane, if they're 5-6 going into that last game against Florida State? Do fans even show up?
No, I do not. Gator fans are always, there's a handful that are just diehard. Doesn't matter what they put on the football field. But at the end of the day, after the constant beatdowns, especially on this schedule, because I could see potentially two losses back-to-back, Ole Miss and Tennessee. I mean, even Georgia. You got Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. If you could lose three of those four games, it's going to be tough to put butts in seats November 29th, man.
Well, that's a fantasy anyway, Shane, because them Gators is going 9-3. They're doing it big this year. Another one that I got on the cusp of the playoff, but I don't have the guts yet to predict it. Three losses probably at LSU, Texas, maybe Georgia. Man, I say maybe. You know what I mean? I think maybe A&M could be 1-2. Maybe swap A&M for LSU. I don't know, but I those are the only games I see as even competitive for the Florida Gators this year.
So. Slim said, which week will Fire Billy start? This week, Slim. This week.
How stunned would you be if the Gators went 9-3?
I'd be pretty damn stunned. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, I do think Florida team, that's the crazy part. I do think they're improved. I think they will be better. But, you know, LSU will be better. A&M's going to be better, I think, you know. Maybe Ole Miss, Florida State for sure is going to be better compared to what, you know, that train wreck they put on the field last year. So I don't know. Florida Gators got a tough, tough road. This is more about scheduling than it is actually, you know, player personnel, if you will. But the Florida Gators could surprise me. They did last year. And honestly, they're probably happy that I'm doubting them now because I doubted them last year.
What are the odds zero out of 100, because I don't think it's zero, Shane.
Yeah.
If they do, let's say they struggle like you're saying, and they're 6-6 or whatever. Mm-hmm. What are the odds at some point Billy Napier's like, it's because of the schedule? If they had been fair with the scheduling, we'd go 8-4. He'll make some sorry excuse about the scheduling, don't you think?
Well, he can't blame sleep anymore. He can't blame special teams mats on the sideline, you know. So
remember, he was blaming the fans in their basement.
All those basements in Florida. So the blame game's over, and they will revolt. And I think if it happens, I told you this. How you want to keep DJ? Well, you make him part of the process of selecting the next head football coach. So bring him in, make him part owner. I don't give a shit what you got to do, but move on. Or just come out here and win some damn games and put this to bed.
Yeah. All right. How about, someone that could have put it to bed, Shane, but they didn't last year. Ole Miss Rebels. How about it, Shane? Georgia State at home, right out the gate. Mm-hmm. At Kentucky. Arkansas at home. At Tulane. Tulane at home. LSU at home. You get your first bye week. You get Washington State at home. A lot of home games here. At Georgia, at Oklahoma. Then we get South Carolina at home, Citadel at home, Florida at home. Second bye week. Hate that. Dead the last bye week here. And then at Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl. What's the record for Ole Miss this year?
That's the problem when you're not optimistic anymore, Mike. That's the problem when I can't just give you a blanket, they're going to be better speech, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's got to be some bad stories brought up in 2025. There's got to be some unsuccessful programs in 2025, and we're talking about one right here. And the success is all in the eye of the beholder, because 8-4 would be a great season for Mississippi State. 8-4 would be a great year for Vanderbilt Commodores. Yeah. It will not be for Ole Miss because of the standards Lane Kiffin's created, but that's exactly where they're going to land this year, 8-4.
It's like you're looking at my notes here, Shane. I got it. Ole Miss 8-4 too. And again, that's below average for Ole Miss. I think you mm-hmm. said it perfectly, but I think the over-under is pretty telling at 8.5. Yep. And I don't know. I just, Now, this could be a true test, Shane. You know, could it be that without all the offseason hype and all the hoopla and Last Dance, all that garbage, you know, Kiffin seems very relaxed these days.
Yeah.
But I don't. Will that pay off? I don't know, because I thought maybe he was a little tight last year. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a case to be made that if it's not all the hype, all the expectations, college playoff or bust, maybe we perform better on the field. That could be my silver lining if I'm an Ole Miss fan. But I'd say, you know, reset your expectations. Mm-hmm. I think this is like a reload year, not a rebuild, but a reload. You win 9 or more games. I mean, I think you take that and hopefully you do make the playoff at 10-2.
Yeah.
But maybe just don't expect it. If you come into this year expecting it, mm-hmm. I think you're going to be disappointed. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe this is right where they want to be. Like you said, the expectations aren't as high, but they can be. They can be. They can ramp up real quick. You start winning a lot of football games, and you know we get the whole. I think Lane Kiffin would embrace the SEC championship right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll be down there 2 days early if possible. So
I was just gonna say you know, he doesn't want to play it, though. So I don't think he's going to have to worry about that this year. I really don't.
Yeah, it's a good point.
All right. Hey, someone that may, though.
Yeah.
If Shane gets his way. How about the Mizzou Tigers, Shane? Oh, lordy lord. Look at all these home games. Central mm-hmm. Arkansas, right out the gate. Ooh, I think I need to update the schedule, too, because I believe they've moved that game to Friday, not Saturday. We got Kansas at home. Extra day prepare for Kansas. That's probably why we moved it. Louisiana at home. South Carolina at home. UMass at home. What a murderer's row there. Get your first bye week. Then you get Bama at home. Maybe the biggest game in school history if both those two are undefeated. Well, maybe not school history, but recent memory. And then we got at Auburn, at Vanderbilt. Then we get a second bye. Love these buys. I mean, As if the schedule doesn't line up any more better for Missouri. I mean, maybe your two biggest games, both at home, both get by. You have 2 weeks to prepare for A&M. Both the teams waxed you last year, so that these are revenge games. Mississippi State at home. Mm-hmm. Then at Oklahoma, at Arkansas. Cakewalk to the college football playoff, Shane?
Well, you know, we talk about Lake Kiffin being consistent. So is Drake, you know, and consistently they find ways to win 10 games. It seems like every single year, you know, this is the first one in a long time though, that we've had so many question marks coming into it. And I do like their schedule. It's similar to the Tennessee Vols. It's like, if you replace this schedule with the Florida Gators, Mizzou would be in trouble. But the fact that they got all these home games, I feel like Mizzou could still stay toward the top, if you will. I don't think they get to 10. I think they get to 9 if you count the bowl game. So that gives me 8-4 during the SEC. I you know, there's some games that are tricky. The Bama one, you're going to sense a theme. I'm high on them Auburn Tigers. A&M, it feels like they've got their number. And Arkansas or Oklahoma, one of them. That's kind of how I see this playing right now.
South Carolina could be tough.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. Kansas and that shitty-ass stadium of theirs, you know. Thank God we ain't got to go over there to that train wreck. I feel like Mizzou is one of those that I am the least confident in because there's so many question marks about – similar to like an Ole Miss. There's so many new faces, new places. So I think we revisit this week 3 and say, you know, either we were right or we were way off.
Yeah. Shane didn't even say Arkansas. Man, come on. That's a rivalry. Come on, Shane.
Oh, are we talking Arkansas? Is there a donation? What's going on?
No, just the fact that could be a competitive game. But no, I hate to repeat you, but I'm going 8-4-2, Shane.
Yeah.
And again, if this schedule was tougher, you know, if they had a Florida schedule or a Mississippi State schedule, you know, Oklahoma schedule, I don't think there's a shot in hell they go 8-4.
Yeah.
But this schedule sets up, hell, they might even do better. But I think Missouri might be slight. I'm just basing this off fans, all their comments and all the expectations they have. I think Missouri's a little overrated just based on where the fan and I don't blame them. Hell, they just won 21 games.
Yeah.
The expectation is to keep that rolling, but I just don't know how realistic that is. This, again, similar to Ole Miss. I'm not a complete rebuild, but I wouldn't quite call this a reload year either. I mean, maybe reload on defense, but almost a rebuild on offense. So, I think they trip up a time or two where fans are not expecting. And hell, just 3 years ago, Shane, 8-4 would have been a tremendous season at Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if they do it, fans are like, what the hell? Why do you think we suck ass? You know what I mean? Like, that's the life of the SEC. 8-4 is pretty solid, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, 8-4 is great. But again, that's just another prime example of standards being changed. And the expectations are to always compete for that spot. So, yeah, I a lot of uncertainty, but I'm a little more concerned coming into 2025 than I was last year.
Yeah. How about South Carolina, Shane? They're playing the Bamber Bowl week 1, Virginia Tech in Atlanta. We got South Carolina State at home, Vandy at home, at Mizzou, Kentucky at home. Get your first bye week and then you go at LSU. Oklahoma at home, Bama at home, at Ole Miss. Then you get your second bye for at Texas A&M, Coastal Carolina, and Clemson. Both of those at home to finish out the season. What's the record for them Gamecocks?
Tough one. The tough one, brother. Scheduling here. You look from October 11th to November 15th, all five of those games. We're talking LSU, Oklahoma, Bama, Ole Miss, A&M are losable.
Yeah,
I don't think they do. I do believe that Shane Beamer and company have, you know, they've kind of built a machine over here. And just when you start disrespecting the old Coach Beamer, he comes out and he punches you in the mouth. And 7.5, I think that's a good number. And that's kind of where I'm hovering right now, Mike. And unfortunately, because I've given some of these other teams the nod up to this point, this is one of those programs that's going to take a little bit of a hit. So not much, but I've got them going 6-6 this year.
Oh, Shane, I forgot how much you hate me. Never comes to our table at media days. Now he's paying for it, Shane. He's paying for it. I'm right there with you. Not that bad. I think they'll be better because I love Sellers. But give me Carolina 7-5, mm-hmm. which again I think would be a major disappointment. Yeah. Given how good they were last year, should have made the college football playoff. I'm not going to stop saying that till maybe till next season actually starts. You know, I'm going to just keep repeating that line. But man, 6-6. Good Lord. Where are the six? I'm just curious again.
Yeah.
We reserve the right to change our mind on a lot of these, but
I think
you're giving them every 50-50 game a loss.
Mike, I didn't want to do this, but you're putting me on the spot here. I just told you those five games.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lose all five. Oh, yes. No. I think they lose all five right there in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's between Mizzou and Clemson. Mm-hmm. They're dropping the other one. So gotcha. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And I hate to say it, but you know, and again, I may be wrong. Shit. I've been wrong. I've wore a damn I'm wrong sign in South Carolina. How many times could I be wrong about the Gamecocks? In fact, this is a prime example. A&M felt this wrath a few years back. You know, you want me on this side of the fence because when I'm wrong, they succeed. And when I'm all in, they find a way to screw it up. So right now I'm kind of out. I'm kind of out in South Carolina.
Okay. I see it. All right. How about Texas A&M, Shane? We got old UTSA at home, Utah State at home, at Notre Dame. Then we get our first bye week. Then we get Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, Florida at home, at Arkansas, at LSU. Get our second bye at Mizzou, South Carolina at home, Samford at home, and at Texas to wrap us up. What are the Aggies going this year? And don't you say 8-4, you son of
Actually, this is partially your fault, Mike. And maybe it's because we had Billy Lucci on, and which is another fantastic interview you need to check out after this show. I'm kind of coming around on Elko and company. The only question I have on this is not an SEC game. It's the Notre Dame one. I'm trying to give them the edge. If they win this one, they're nine and three. If they lose, they're 8-4. So that's kind of where I'm at, that September 13th matchup. But again, I think 9-3, that would show a lot of improvement. And I think Aggie fans, I mean, they're always happy. I swear. It's like one of the happiest fan bases I've ever seen. But I think they do want to get into that playoff mix. I think the most optimistic ones are going to talk about this upcoming season, but I feel like Elko's a year three type guy, and this would be a huge step to that direction.
Yeah. Oh, man, you went right where I went too. You were kind of hedging your bets there, but I went 9-3.
Yeah.
Well, what happens, Shane? What happens? Let's hope this doesn't. We want SEC to win all these non-conference. Let's say A&M loses to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Let's say LSU loses to Clemson. I think that showdown, A&M at LSU October 25th, that could be for a playoff spot. Because I think, if those teams win both those games, likely not. But I'm saying if they drop them and they still have really good years,
yeah,
I think that LSU game for Texas A&M October 25th in Baton Rouge could very well determine which one of these two programs going to the college football playoff. What do you think about that?
I mean, you may be right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A&M has an opportunity to do something crazy. Absolutely. And we're waiting for it. We talk about the parity of this league. There's always a team like an A&M that we're not giving the respect. Yesterday I was telling you about Reed. I feel like that's a quarterback that not enough people are talking about. And I don't know. Similar to where Ole Miss is now, here's a team that, you know, the expectations are down, but does it mean they're out? You know, I could easily see Texas A&M winning 10 games. I could see them right there in the playoff mix. It's just, we have to see it, you know. We have to – I can't just sit here and wish it to success, wish it to happen. I've just got to actually see the production and, more importantly, that depth that kind of hindered us last year, especially toward the tail end with the injuries and stuff, does that competitive depth move up because of, you know, a year two system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going back to what you said, we can't just will it.
Yeah.
Because we willed it about 6 years in a row. We know that doesn't work. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah. We've been trying to crown these guys since they got here, you know?
Hey, how about another team that's got to prove it, Shane? Mm-hmm. Auburn. How about them Tigers, Shane? At Baylor. Ball State at home. South Bama at home. At Oklahoma. At Texas A&M. Get your first bye. Georgia at home. Mizzou at home. At Arkansas. Kentucky at home. At Vanderbilt, second by Mercer at home, Alabama at home. What are them Fighting Hugh Freezes going to do this year, Shane?
This is my baby right here. This is my project. This is, you know what I'm saying? Like every year I find a football team that deep down inside, other than the big orange, I'm like, man, I want these guys to succeed. And it's not because of Hugh Freeze. It's more about the fans. These damn Auburn fans have been through it, man. And they've been at the top of the mountain, but it's been so long ago, they can barely see it anymore. So I think this is the year they finally get back into that dance. Very, very winnable schedule. I mean, you got to catch Baylor right out of the gate, but this is a team that, if I'm being honest with you, Mike, I'm not taking 10-2 off the board here. In fact, let me see. Yeah. I'm going 10-2 for them Auburn Tigers. A playoff bound. Huh? Am I crazy? Am I getting a little too worked up? A little too optimistic?
Latest order of cornbread hip coming to mail or something here, Shade? Because I was going to say, I absolutely agree.
I almost went 9-3, but then I was like, no, I'm going all in. This is my team, 10-2.
Right. Wait, I said agree. I meant 7-5. Come on, they're going 7-5. They're going back. Auburn is back to a bowl game. That's about as back as they're getting. Man, I don't. That's nuts, Shay. Well, I mean, we've seen Hugh Freeze coach many years in this conference. They got talent, no doubt. Should they be winning 9-10 games? Yes. Will they? Hell no. Unless something drastically changed, and you know, we will hire John Sumrall or something by August or something like that. So I think Oklahoma, A&M, Georgia, Bam, I think those are all losses. And I think they'll find another, you know, Hugh Freeze always finds one that he shouldn't have. So I don't know if it's Baylor, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. He can't. It's going to be Vanderbilt. That's what it is. He can't beat Diego Pavia to save his life, Shane. So that ain't changing this year.
Mm-hmm. Auburn fans, go ahead and book him hotels now before they go.
All right. How about we haven't hit on Bama, Shane? How about Alabama? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right out the gate at Florida State. What a game that could be. ULM at home, Wisconsin at home, bye week. At Georgia, how about I mean, I don't know that these are world beaters aside from Georgia this year, but any other year, you're saying Florida State, Wisconsin, Georgia in the first month. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've not talked enough, Shane, about how lucky Alabama is that two of these traditional powerhouses kind of suck because, you know, they schedule these things out 40 years in advance. Vanderbilt at home, at Mizzou, Tennessee at home, at South Carolina, second bye week. LSU at home, Oklahoma at home, Southern Illinois at home, and then at Auburn. Where are we going for the Crimson Tide?
Mike, we just talked about all those nice things and about Auburn, but they're not even the best team in the state. This is the best team in the state right here. I feel like there's just something, man, and maybe it's a gut check or something. I feel like Alabama roars back. Give me 11-1 for the Alabama Crimson Tide here.
Buddy.
Yeah, I think Georgia is your only loss. Only loss this year.
11-1. Wow.
Yeah. And there's some blowouts in here too. I really do. I feel like Alabama, yeah, it was disappointing last year. We made a couple mistakes, but man, this team's loaded, absolutely loaded. And people have been sleeping on DeBoer. He finally shows why he's the second best coach to ever coach at Alabama. Maybe third.
Yeah, you forgot about old Bear there for a second.
Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, hey, I'm right there with you, man. I think this is a come out party type of year.
Yeah.
I'm not quite that bold, though. I'll go 10-2. But you might be right, because I picked them to beat Georgia. Mm-hmm. So if they're beating Georgia, they shouldn't lose two other games, but I think they'll find a way somehow to drop some other games.
Yeah.
But if they beat Georgia, you're probably dead right. They're probably going 11-1 or maybe even undefeated. You know, if you can win in Athens, you should be able to win literally every other game in your schedule.
I think I've managed to put 6 teams in the playoff so far. I don't know. I don't know if my math is mathed, but.
All right. Well, let's see if the math continues. How about Arkansas, Shane? Alabama, A&M at home. Arkansas State in Little Rock, which is still technically a home game. At Ole Miss, at Memphis, Notre Dame at home. Then you get your first bye week. Then you're at Tennessee, Texas A&M at home, Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home. Get your second bye. Then you're at LSU, at Texas, and Mizzou at home. How about them Razorbacks, Shane?
Man, why do we always do this? We always start out, I love Sam Pittman. Everybody knows that. We love Coach Pittman, and I love the fans. Again, this is a fan base that's hungry. That's just gotten beat up. You know, it's been picked on the last 5-10 years, it feels like, and you just kind of feel bad. You don't even want to put a mean tweet out. You're just like, I don't know. It's Arkansas. Now, I did put a few out after they beat Tennessee, cause I had to catch up a little bit, but I think this is a bad year for them Razorbacks. I've got them at 5-7, missing a bowl game.
I'll go one better. I got them 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of kicking them while they're down, let me ask you this. Is there any reason, I know they don't have Lane Kiffin or anything, but is there any reason that the success that they're having at Ole Miss, which, again, it's not like they're annually making the playoff or going to the SEC tournament, but, you know, 10 wins, 8 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, any reason that what Ole Miss is accomplishing, that Arkansas can't do something similar like it?
No, it can be done.
Right.
Success can be done anywhere in this conference. It takes a few things. Not just a good coach. It takes good fans. It takes good booster. It takes right players. You know, how many times we Texas A&M, prime example, number one recruiting class. That could have been one of those classes we talked about 20 years from now, but it fell apart. So sometimes just the stars need to line up. And, you know, the crazy thing is Arkansas had a fan that had a chance to get Lane Kiffin and it didn't work. So, I feel like it could, but does it happen in 25? I don't think so.
All right. How about Vanderbilt, Shane? Charleston Southern, I believe that is, right out the gate at home. At Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Georgia State at home, Utah State at home. We get at Alabama, then we get our first bye for LSU at home, Mizzou at home, at Texas, Auburn at home. Then we get our second bye for Kentucky at home and at Tennessee. Shane, what are them fighting Clark Lees going to do this year?
I can't believe 4.5 is the over-under. Did they watch the same Vanderbilt team that we lost, that watched last year? I mean, did they lose their quarterback or something? Did they lose their coordinator or something? I think people are not respecting these guys because it's Vanderbilt and you always put them there at the bottom. But 4.5 is crazy. And because I think they get to 5. Give me 5-7. They get a win over Kentucky. We've not got to them yet, but you're not going to like it if you're a Kentucky fan. So give me 5-7. There's going to be, again, some close games on the schedule. It's not a team you want to play. But to think Vanderbilt just all of a sudden has arrived, we're not there yet.
Hey, great point by Cousin Jesse. Virginia Tech will have back-to-back SEC games to open the season, having played Carolina. So
better than UMass, you know.
for that simple fact, Shane, give me 6-6. We're going back to the postseason. I don't think Diego Pavia is capable of putting a loser out on the field. I just don't. I mean, that guy is going to find a way to steal a game or two that he shouldn't. He did it multiple times last year, and people can discount him. They say he's overrated. I still can't believe, Shane, that there's people that they're in the comments now probably saying, Diego, he's mid, he's overrated. I mean, that whooped Alabama's ass last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who in the world thought that was coming, you know?
He's a gamer, man. He's an absolute dog. I'm not going to say Pavia is a bad player, but when you're comparing him to other NFL players, he is. He comes across to me as like one of those rec league guys, you know. You show up the gym, everybody's playing basketball, and you're like, who's this guy? You know, he's the only one that's like dribbling between his legs. That's Pavia. You know, he's a great rec league guy. But as far as the NFL, you know, I think he'll get there, but I think the success that more importantly, what he's doing now is the groundwork for Coach Lee and company. And you got a lot of media attention and everything. You've got Theo down there. I mean, hell, they're like best buds right now. Take advantage of that. Vanderbilt can build off of Pavia. I just don't think that they go to a bowl game.
And I was trying to look up the statistic. I couldn't find it. So maybe don't 100% quote me on this, but Diego Pavia, if I recall, mm-hmm. in terms of SEC rushing attempts,
yeah,
I think he may have been top five, if not five. I think he was like top 10 for sure.
Yeah,
and I think that's part of the reason why they faded a little bit because I think they'll have to adjust to that. He's a smaller guy, but you can't ask him to be running the ball 20 times a game,
right?
Not in this conference. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's got to be a big adjustment that they make this year. He's still going to run. The offense won't work if he doesn't run, but they got to find a way to make sure he doesn't get hit as much as he did last year. Cause he won't survive. He barely did last year.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, he got banged up several times last season.
Right. So I wonder if a lot of people, they probably didn't watch a ton of it. And then they started watching after they beat Alabama, after they pushed Texas, and then people saw a hurt version of him, and they're like, this is the guy they're talking up. He's, you know, but he was hurt. Speaking of hurt, Kentucky, Toledo at home, Ole Miss at home, Eastern Michigan at home. At least we got a bunch of home games here. For our first bye, at South Carolina, at Georgia, second bye, Texas at home, Tennessee at home, at Auburn, Florida at home, Tennessee Tech at home, at Vanderbilt, at Louisville. What is a record for the Mark Stoops Fighting Bourbons?
Well, let's just complete that graph. That's a good graph. Go back to that one, Mike. He started out with two wins. Oh, no. He ends with two wins. Give me 2-10. This is the worst football season that Kentucky fans can remember. And there's some absolute, I think, blowouts on this schedule. And, you know, you look at Ole Miss. I don't think Ole Miss has a great team. I don't think that they, you know, go to a playoff or a bowl game, but I do think they remember last season and they make it personal. Toledo, I think that's possibly a loss, brother. I think there's a good shot. Kentucky starts out 0-2 and the wheels have fell off before we get deep SEC run. So yeah, I am not really confident with them. And again, that may change. You know, I'm usually wrong, but 2-10 is what I've got.
Who are the two wins?
Two wins? That would
Tech
be
and E.
Yeah, Tech and E. Was that Eastern Michigan? Yeah. Yeah. Thank God they didn't grab Western, or I may have went one win, but
oh, Shane. I forgot you hate Kentucky. They go double that. Come on, brother. 4-8. For old, the Stoops is loose here. They'll beat somebody. They'll come out. They'll be fired up. I mean, this is a prove it year for everybody. If they got any pride up there, you know, hell, they'll go back to a bowl game. You know what I mean? Yeah. But even best case scenario, I don't see how in the world they get to six.
Yeah.
I think. I think between two and four is probably, they'll probably prove us both wrong, Shane, and win three. You know what?
What happens if they do start the season 0-2, Toledo and Ole Miss, and Ole Miss bad? Let's say Ole Miss beats them by 35 points. What? I mean, how many people are showing up to Lexington September 13th? I bet you could just walk in.
Sold out.
Know? Yeah.
Sold out stadium.
They'll pay you to show up. They'll take some at Disney money and just come on. They're paying like a stunt. What do they call it? Like when you do a movie and they got those extras.
Yeah.
They're out there giving some of that money to them extras. It's just, come on, guys, just hang out here for like 60 minutes and then you could leave.
If it goes sideways, Shane, I don't think they'll let them go until after Georgia, where they'll have that bye week. Because I don't think you want to go at South Carolina, at Georgia with an interim.
Oh, man, and that's crazy. What a terrible bye week situation. You got bye week after third week and a bye week after fifth, and then you play seven games straight when that, you know, because honestly, that back half, Florida, Vanderbilt, Louisville, those are your games. Those are the games that would bring Stoops back. Those are the games that kind of get you to a bowl game. And unfortunately, they're going to be beat the hell up by the time we get there. So, yeah, tough draw for Kentucky boys mm-hmm. and girls up there.
All right, last one, Shane. Mississippi State at Southern Miss. Arizona State at home. Alcorn at home. Northern Illinois at home, Tennessee at home, at A&M, get your first bye, then at Florida, Texas at home, at Arkansas, Georgia at home, at Mizzou, and then you get your final bye. Before the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss at home, brother. Mississippi State turning it around this year?
Hey, I think it's going to be a little misleading. I have this feeling that Mississippi State starts out 4-0, and then that's it. Doesn't win a single SEC game. I am looking at you, Razorbacks, as possibly the kind of the trap game, if you will. But yeah, it wouldn't blow my mind if you win three, but I'm going to go over and go 4-8 here.
This might be the biggest stunner of them all, Shane. Give me 5-7, Mississippi State. I think they'll find something. I mean, this is the year. I think we got to see something from Lebby and company. Mm-hmm. I think they've gotten rid of everybody that maybe is not fully bought in. They've completely overhauled the roster. Let's just show some heart, show some fight on the defensive side of the football. I didn't see literally any of that last year.
Yeah.
If we do that, I mean, all we really got to do is cause turnovers.
Yeah.
People can go up and down the field on us. Cause some turnovers and let's play high. They were high flying last year, even against Georgia and Texas and all these teams. Now they kind of petered out there at the end, but they were on a true freshman quarterback. So I don't know, Shane, I think Mississippi State's got a little bit more fight than we're giving them credit for. Give me 5-7, flirting with a bowl all season long. They're going to sneak up on a team or two in the SEC. I really do think so, because even if you're at a overall talent disadvantage, yeah. We have seen this offense under Heupel, under Lane Kiffin, mm-hmm. under, I think, Jeff Lebby at Oklahoma. If you're, even when you're at a talent disadvantage, you can win games because of this offense. I think they do that at least once or twice this year and get to 5.
Well, that's one way to show it out. Close it out optimistically.
all right, buddy. Hey, we went through all 16 SEC teams. Got anything else before we hop off the line?
No. It's good catching up. Again, Mike, you know, he told you, I think I've hinted at it a couple of times. A lot of great content came out over the weekend. So after this, if you're looking for a little Texas A&M love, little, I don't know, Paul Feinbaum love, you know, or Arkansas love. Yeah, I've already marked them off the list. Be sure to check that out. Again, thanks for everybody, all the support and the likes, the thumbs up. They mean the world. I don't know why, but it keeps us rolling. So be sure to, when you minimize this, put those thumbs up and share with your friends.
Are you real quick, man with the plan, Shane? He says, keep the golf game going. Yeah, so you're off tomorrow. You gonna be golfing?
Yeah. If you're looking for like even worse content, go to SEC Cousin Shane on YouTube. I think I got 150 subscribers now. Thank you for every one of you. Actually going to be putting a video out tonight. Going to be talking about coaches with other jobs. So should be fun. I hope you enjoy it. And then tomorrow, yes, going to be doing some golfing, catching up. You know, some poor cart man's going to get it tomorrow, brother. I don't know who it is. Like, he's just sitting there in the bay. They're all talking to each other, just praying to God this fat ass doesn't pick them.
All right, buddy. Well, well said. That's all we got. We may have, fingers crossed, no promises because it's not done yet, but fingers crossed, we're going to get another in-studio guest this week. It should be a really, really good one. But be on the lookout for that. It's a great time to sub to the channel if you haven't already and share the podcast. That's the best way. Word of mouth really helps us out. But that's going to do it for this episode of the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.